Hello, this is Rabbi Chaim Bravender of Web Yeshiva with the Nach Yomi podcast for Tehillim chapter 81. Visit webyeshiva.org. Sign up for our fully interactive online yeshiva. This chapter, Pei Aleph 81, begins Lamnatzeach al Hagitit Le'asaf. Lamnatzeach is the reference to the leader. Gitit is an instrument. Asaf is the order, author. The first psukim refer to this glorious idea that music is part of the way we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Harninu Lelukim Uzeinu. Harninu is the word rina, song. And this word is, this is the statement that is made by the Shaliach Tzibur, perhaps, the leader, says this to the congregation. Harninu Lelukim Uzeinu, to the God who is our strength, who contains the strength. Hariyu Leluke Yaakov, Hariyu. Again, a true-ah, as we understand it, is the sound of the shofar, the kol true-ah. So harninu rina, hariyu true-ah, that there is song, and then there is shofar. Su'u zimra utinutof. Su'u, raise up. Raise up zimra. Raise up your voices in song. Utinutof. Start using the tof. The drum. Use that drum. Kino na'im im navel. Kino na'im im navel. Kinor and navel are musical instruments that have very pleasant sounds to them. What exactly these instruments are and how they sounded, we don't know. But it isn't unlikely that they were string instruments, a kinor and a navel, and that they produce pleasant sounds, certainly compared to the true-ah of the shofar and the beating of the tof. And finally, we have this in the first section, this rather well-known but remarkable pasuk, tiku b'chodesh shofar. Chodesh. Chodesh means Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the month. Tik'u b'chodesh shofar. Tik'u b'chodesh shofar. In other words, again, we have the tof, the kinor, the navel, shofar. And then the shofar, because it would, if we remember, in the Beit HaMikdash, they blew the shofar. That was the main kli that was associated with avodah, with the service in the Beit HaMikdash, and that was done along with kelim, the many other kinds of musical instruments. Bakeser liyom chagenu. Bakeser means the day when the moon is covered up. That's Rosh Chodesh, when you don't see the moon. Right, the moon from the 15th of the month gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And in Rosh Chodesh, you can barely see it. It's entirely covered up. Bakeser liyom chagenu. Kichok Yisrael hu mishpat le'elokei Yaakov. Because this is a chok. This chok, chok li'Yisrael hu, the shofar, is an obligation. It's an obligation on Bnei Yisrael. Mishpat le'elokei Yaakov. It is a shofar. The shofar is obligatory upon us because Elokei Yaakov made that an obligation. An obligation for us.
Hello?
Now, Edut b'Yosef samo b'tzeito al Eretz Mitzrayim. Edut b'Yosef. This was the God of Yaakov made the shofar kind of a witness. L'mitzvah b'Yosef. B'Yosef. Yosef is Yosef. Samo. B'tzeito al Eretz Mitzrayim. Svat lo yadati eshma. Svat lo yadati. This is tiku b'chodesh shofar. Blow that shofar. This is the command. And svat lo yadati. I understand what it is, Eshma. I will understand. I mean, I understand that the kol shofar, that the sound of the shofar causes Ruach HaKodesh to devolve upon the author. Edut b'Yosef samo b'tzeito del Eretz Mitzrayim. Svat lo yadati eshma. This makes a tremendous impression upon me and gives me understanding that I never thought that I would have. And so this brings us to the question of music, of the sounds of Kelim. And everybody understands, without going into it too deeply, that music is different than words. Words, after all, when you say something, there's a limiting aspect to words. Even if you interpret nuances and different possibilities and create different interpretations, it would seem that words remain limiting. You don't expect a word to mean just anything. The word is chosen because it doesn't mean just anything. And so the words that are used in Tefillah, the words that are used in Tehillim, are scrutinized carefully because we can't simply argue that they mean anything at all, anything we like them to mean. There seems to be a form of tefillah which is funneled through the music of the various instruments mentioned here: the tof, the kinor, the navel, the shofar. We know that the shofar is a mitzvah. There's a day of the year, 2 days of the year, today, when blowing the shofar is absolutely necessary. And these instruments play music, and that music is meaningful to us, but to each one of us in a different way. It can on the one hand, be annoying. The music, that is, can be annoying. On the other hand, it can be tremendously inspiring. And so that's what the author of this chapter is saying. At the end of Pasuk Vav, Sfat lo yadati eshma. The music, the sound of the instruments, takes me beyond. The words are always demanding of me close consideration. Watch the word carefully. Look it up in the dictionary. Find out the parameters, the semantic parameters of the meanings of the word. The music does not treat me quite that way. The music, while it is true that it is a language, and that music should have meaning, and probably does have meaning, the music, nevertheless, is inspirational for most of us. On Rosh Hashanah, you know, we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we try to find the right words to say what we know we have to say. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, blow the shofar, make this wordless sound. Make it come from the depths of your very being. He says, and that will be sufficient. That is enough of a prayer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. That's enough of a prayer to change everything in the world. So that this command to blow the shofar may in fact recognize clearly our limit and the fact that words never suffice to reflect the profundity of our feeling. And therefore in the Beit HaMikdash, it seemed reasonable that we should blow the shofar, that we should play the chatzotzra, that the navel and the kinnor would have a place. All of this made sense to the people who came to the Beit HaMikdash, not just to fulfill obligations, of course to fulfill obligations, the nedarim, the sacrifices that were obligatory, they were all obligations, but beyond that, to be inspired by this place which contained the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that inspiration came to Bnei Yisrael partially through the music. And it's interesting that in our time, we're becoming more concerned with this inspirational quality of music. We look for music that is helpful. We look for music that can kind of help us soar with the eagles during a tefillah. I mean, there are problems, Shabbat, the order of things in the Beit HaKnesset don't always permit it. On the other hand, there are opportunities to find music as the source of religious inspiration. This is a topic that should be dealt with in a more serious forum, but it certainly is reflected here in this chapter of Tehillim. Let's look at the last two psukim, Pasuk Yud Bet and Pasuk Yud Gimel. Lo shama ami lekoli, b'Yisrael lo ava. I'm sorry, that's the end, Pasuk Yud Bet and Pasuk Yud Gimel. Because they didn't listen, I let them go wherever they go. Yelchu b'mo'atzoteihem, and they will go b'mo'atzeitem, mo'atzotehem, that's etza, the word etza, advice, the advice, yelchu b'mo'atzotehem, the advice of the wicked, u'ami shomeali, Yisrael b'drachai yehalechu, if they would listen to me, then Yisrael would go in the way that I demanded. So there is a kind of juxtaposition in this parak of Tehillim, which I think indicates our ongoing problem, and that ongoing problem is that on the one hand we agree that we are not able to achieve tefillah. That's a real difficulty, achieving some poor sort of tefillah. On the other hand, we're not able to maintain that state of readiness and demands and hopefulness, and we're just not able to do it. And therefore, we go on, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lu ami shomeali, Yisrael b'drachai yalechu. If they would listen, then they would be with me all the time. Kim'at oivehem achnia. Kim'at oivehem achnia. You know, in a moment, I would, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I would do away with their enemies. V'al tzarehem ashiv yadi. V'al tzarehem, and on those who oppress them, I would take care of that problem. It would be over. Misanei Hashem yikach hashulo. The enemies of God would give in. Yikach hashulo v'yi ata v'yi itam le'olam v'yi itam le'olam, and this would be they would remain subjugated, because they would not be honest in their reactions. So misan ei Hashem yikach hashulo v'yehi itam le'olam v'ya'achilehu michelev chita. A wonderful pasuk, a further blessing for Yisrael. If b'nei Yisrael would listen, ya'achilehu Hashem michelev chita. A bracha. There would be a blessing in the land. And the chita, and the wheat, would be fat. Right? Chelev chita, fat. Fat kind of wheat. Umitzur dvash aspieka. Dvash mitzur. The dvash, the honey, comes out of the rock, b'shefa, ad kedei svi, a tremendous amount, v'mitzu devash aspiyekel. So you have this reflection of this problem in the second part of the Mizmor. B'nei Yisrael recognize their shortcomings, and they recognize the fact that they have to ask for God's forgiveness and support. But when they leave the Beit HaMikdash, when they live their daily lives, they're not always able to maintain that standard. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is, if you would only do that, if you'd only maintain that standard, then everything would be fine. But Pasuk Yudbet lo shama ami likoli, v'Yisrael lo avali. They have their own designs. It's true that when they come to the Beit HaMikdash, when they see the problem and they understand the weakness that they have without divine support, so they say things that are good. They don't act that way. Lu ami shomei ali, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. The Kodesh would follow in my way. Yisrael b'drachai yehalechu. Kima'at v'vehem achniyah. It's just a second. It would take a moment for the enemy to be to disappear. Al tzarehem ashiv yadi, misanei Hashem yikach hashuvo. Those who hate God and who deny God, v'hi gam le'olam, v'yachileu, finally the great bracha to B'nai Yisrael, v'yachileu michelev chita, and they would be eating the wheat, the fattened wheat, right? It's like some sort of a imagined delicacy, umitzur, and from the stone would come drash, would come honey, asbi echran, and you would be satisfied by this. So there's a conflation of two ideas. On the one hand, the Beit HaMikdash and the music in the Beit HaMikdash enables higher levels of prayer than imagined. On the other hand, the Kodesh Baruch says that that's not enough. You have to be able to maintain a devotion to God's will, even when you leave the Beit HaMikdash, and you set aside, you go about your way. And this is what this is what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants of us. And in order for the prayer to be meaningful, our lives have to be as meaningful.